Praise God. Well, turn with me, if you will, to Luke, the 22nd chapter, and the 31st and 32nd verses. The name of today's little message is Hang It On Him. Praise God. And in Luke 22, verses 31 through 32, and the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail thee not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. Praise God. Hallelujah. I thank God that when it comes to your failures and my failures, hang it on Him. Praise God. Because Jesus died for us, and He died for our sins, and He died for all of our failures, and we need to hang it on Him, because I find that I can't carry my failures very well, and I'm sure that you feel the same way. So we need to hang it on Him. Praise God. You know, Peter, when he failed there, as we sometimes do, and sometimes maybe we could say we often do from day to day, Jesus prayed for Peter's faith that it would fail him not. Jesus knew Peter would fail at times in life, and He knows the same about you and I. But my faith and your faith is not to be in our failures, but in the finished work of the cross. And one thing that I see in this that the Lord spoke to me just this morning as I was getting ready is identity theft. Our identity should not be in our failures. Our identity should not be in our sins. But our identity is in the Lord giving Himself for us. Amen. And that is where our victory is. Praise God. Thank God that He paid the penalty for our victory this morning. And the whole thing is we need to rest in His righteousness. I can remember, and I'm sure all of you do, from kindergarten through school, there always was a regimen. I have to do this. I have to perform. I've got to get this right. Then you move on. Pastor moved on to his career in newspapers, and there was always deadlines. Lucille always had to take care of her patients and make sure they get the right, you know, medications, and see that they were okay. And there's always something pushing us, and it's our performance. It's our performance. And I think it's easy to have our identity in our performance, because that's all in the natural that we've ever known. And Sue Ellen with bookkeeping, she better balance at the end of the day. And Punk in his field, and Mary Ann in hers, and in my different jobs that I've worked, it's all the same, really. But thank God that my relationship with Him is not based on my performance. Your relationship with Him is not based on yours. It's based on His. Hallelujah. And thank God for His blood. And we need to rest in His righteousness, because we're always running here and there, which we have to in the natural to get things done. And praise God that He had it all done for us at Calvary. And we need to rest in His righteousness, and don't allow that identity theft to go on, where our identity is in failures or sins or in broken relationships, but that it's in what He has done, that perfect gift that He has given to us. Praise God. And so I want to thank Him for that this morning. And in your life, there is nothing His grace can't erase.
Amen.
I had trouble in naming this message, and I called it Hang It On Him, because I did not want to in any way to dishonor our beloved Lord, my beloved Lord. However, when it comes to sin, you and I have to hang it on Him. Hallelujah. The cross is the only answer for sin, so hang it on Him. Praise God. I'm just going to read one chapter of the expositors. Praise God. So if you'll turn with me to Isaiah, the 53rd chapter, and I'm just going to go verse through verse here, and we're going to hang it on Him this morning. Who has believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? Our report refers to this very prophecy, as well as other messianic prophecies delivered by Isaiah. To Israel was the arm of the Lord revealed, and to Israel is ascribed the unbelief which destroyed them. The revelation of the arm of the Lord requires the eye of faith to see it. Unbelief can always assign the most plainly providential arrangements to happy accident. It takes faith to believe that the report that is revealed. In verse 2, "For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of a dry ground. He has no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him." To God's eye, Israel, and the entirety of the earth for that matter, were a dry ground. But that eye rested with delight upon one tender plant, which had a living root. It was Jesus. The Hebrew verbs in these verses are to be regarded as perfects of prophetic certitude. This means that in the mind of God, all has been finished before the foundation of the world and done so in the divine counsels. The words "before him" mean before Jehovah, undering the fostering care of Jehovah. God the Father had his eye fixed upon the Son with a watchfulness and tenderness and love. "This sapling from the house of David shall become the root out of which his church will grow. The Messiah will be a fresh sprout from the stump of a tree that had been felled. Example from the destroyed Davidic monarchy." The words "he has no form nor comeliness" refer to the fact that he had none during his sufferings. But now he has it more than anyone else except the Father and the Holy Spirit. The words "there is no beauty that we should desire him" refers to his sufferings, which include his peasant upbringing, and as a consequence, his poverty, as well as his lack of association with aristocracy. In verse 3, "he is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not." Him being rejected of men means one from whom men held themselves aloof. Why? He was pure holiness, and they were pure corruption. A man of sorrows refers to Jesus taking all the sorrows of humanity upon himself. Acquainted with grief actually refers to diseases and sicknesses, for that's what the word "grief" in the Hebrew means. "As we hid, as it were, our faces from him" describes the treatment of the servant by his fellow men. Again, why? He was not the type of Messiah they wanted. "He was despised, and we esteemed him not" refers to the fact that the religious leadership of Israel esteemed him not at all. He came to deliver men from sin, but that wasn't the type of deliverance they desired. Verse 4, "Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted." 12 times within the space of 9 verses, the prophet asserts with the most emphatic reiteration that all the servant's sufferings were vicarious. Example, born for man to save him from the consequences of his sins, to enable him to escape punishment. In other words, Jesus did this all for us. "Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted" proclaims the fact that because he died on the cross, Israel assumed that he died under the curse of God, because Moses had said, "For he who hanged is accursed of God." What they did not understand was that he was not accursed, neither in himself was cursed, but in fact was made a curse for us. Israel assumed he was smitten of God, and in a sense he was. He suffered in our stead, actually is our substitute, which means that the blow that should have come to us instead went to him. But yet, it was not for his sins, because he had none, but instead was for our sins. He was afflicted for us, as stated. He was our substitute. Verse 5, "But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed." "He was wounded for our transgressions" pertains to the manner in which he died, which was the price he paid for the redemption of humanity. "He was bruised for our iniquities" means that he suffered. What he suffered was not at all for himself, but all for us, It was for our iniquities. Look at the cross and then say, my sin did this. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him. Means that a peace between God and man was to be restored. All which Adam lost, then Jesus would have to bring it about. Here is the simple doctrine of the gospel, the death of Christ. All other founders of religions based their claims upon their life and their teaching. Their death was a calamity and without significance. But the death of Christ was His glory and forms the imperishable foundation of the one and only salvation. His purpose in coming was to die. And with His stripes we are healed. Definitely pertains to physical healing, but is far greater in meaning than that. Its greater meaning refers to being healed of the terrible malady of sin. Verse 6, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Sheep without a shepherd get lost easily. Man, as sheep, has wandered from the right path. He has become so hopelessly lost that it is impossible for him within his own means to come back to the right path. Therefore, the Lord had to come from heaven down to this wilderness called earth and thereby seek and save man who is lost. We have turned everyone to his own way. Refers to the fact that the whole world collectively and individually has sinned and come short of the glory of God. This erroneous way has led to death, suffering, sorrow, heartache, loneliness, despair, and pain. This is the reason that everything that man touches dies, whereas everything that God touches lives. So man desperately needs God's touch, the atonement of Calvary. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all, refers to the total price he paid for our total salvation, the penalty for every sin for all humanity and for all time was laid on Christ. God the Father is the primary disposer of all things, lays upon the Son the burden which the Son voluntarily accepts. He comes into the world to do the Father's will, and the Father's will is to secure the salvation of man, at least for those who will believe. Verse 7, He was oppressed and He was afflicted, and yet He opened not His mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before shearers is dumb, so He opens not His mouth. The first phrase refers to all that was done to Him in His humiliation, suffering, and agony. He could so easily have vindicated Himself from every charge. Therefore, He self-abased Himself. It seems like an admission of guilt, and in fact it was, but not His guilt, but the guilt of those who were accusing Him as well as the entirety of the world. Of all the Levitical offerings, 5 total, the lamb was the animal most used. Hence, John the Baptist would say, "Behold the Lamb of God, which takes away the sin of the world." Verse 8, He was taken from prison and from judgment. And who shall declare His generation? For He was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was He stricken. He was taken from prison and from judgment. Refers to a violence which cloaked itself under the formalities of a legal process. And who shall declare His generation? Refers to the fact of Him being cut off, which means that He would have no posterity. For the transgression of my people was He stricken, can be summed up in what He suffered and on all our behalf. This must never be forgotten. Every single thing He suffered was not at all for Himself or for heaven in any capacity, but all for sinners. Verse 9, And He made His grave with the wicked and with the rich in His death, because He had done no violence, neither was there any deceit in His mouth. And He made His grave with the wicked means that He was appointed such by the religious hierarchy of Israel. But Joseph of Arimathea, a rich man, asked that Jesus be buried in his personal tomb instead. And so He was. Because He had done no violence, neither was any deceit in His mouth, proclaims the sinlessness of Christ, and forms the main argument in the Epistle to the Hebrews for the superiority of the New Covenant over the Old. And no other man was ever without sin. It follows that the servant of this present chapter is, and can be no other man than Christ. Verse 10, yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He has put him to grief. When you shall make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him, refers to the sufferings of Christ, which proceeded from the determined counsel and foreknowledge of God, and which being permitted by him, were in some way his doing. It pleased him, moreover, that they should be undergone, for the Father saw with satisfaction the Son's self-sacrifice, and he witnessed with joy man's redemption and deliverance effected thereby. He has put him to grief, actually says, he has put him to sicknesses, or he has made him sick. This spoke of the time he was on the cross bearing our sins and sicknesses. And yet, while all sin and sicknesses were atoned at the cross, the total effects of such will not be completely dissipated until the coming resurrection. When you shall make his soul an offering for sin, it is powerful indeed. The word offering in the Hebrew is a sham and means a trespass offering or an offering for sin. Offerings for sins or guilt offerings were distinct from sin offerings. The object of the former was satisfaction, of the latter, expiation. The servant of Jehovah was, however, to be both. He was both the sin offering and the guilt offering. This completely destroys the idea that Jesus died spiritually on the cross, meaning that he became a sinner on the cross and died and went to hell as all sinners and was born again in hell after 3 days and nights of suffering, etc. None of that is in the Word of God. While Jesus definitely was a sin offering, he was not a sinner and did not become a sinner on the cross. To have done so would have destroyed his perfection of sacrifice, which was demanded by God. In other words, the sacrifice had to be perfect, and he was perfect in every respect. He shall see his seed refers to all his true followers, which include all who have ever been born again. And that includes you and I, praise God. He shall prolong his days refers to his resurrection. And the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand refers to the great victory that he would win at Calvary, which will ultimately restore everything that Adam lost. Verse 11. He shall see the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. The travail of his soul pertains to his sacrifice for sin, which has resulted in the restoration of man, at least for those who will believe. And shall be satisfied refers to the fact that even though the price was high, actually beyond comprehension, still it was worth the redemption it accomplished. What Jesus did at the cross made it possible for man to be fully and totally justified in the eyes of God, which comes about by man exhibiting faith in Christ and what Christ did at the cross. Verse 12, therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he has poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bore the sins of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. To be appointed with the great and to divide the spoil with the strong is figurative language expressive of full victory. It means here that Christ, by his death, delivers from Satan mankind who was held captive. Because he poured out his soul unto death, that means that Christ not only died for man, but as it were poured out his soul with his own hand to the last drop. The expression emphasizes the duration and the voluntariness of the Messiah's sufferings. In other words, he laid down his own life and no man took it from him. And he was numbered with the transgressors, refers to the action of the Jews toward him. He was crucified between two thieves. He was condemned as a blasphemer, crucified with malefactors, called that deceiver, and regarded generally by the Jews as accursed. And he bore the sin of many and made intercession for transgressors. Is the Hebrew an act through, though begun in the past, not yet completed? The intercession for transgressors was begun on the cross with the compassionate words, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. This intercession for believers has continued ever since and will ever continue. Such intercession is made possible by what Christ did at the cross. And that concludes Isaiah 53. Praise God. When it comes to our sins, hang it on Him. Hallelujah. Praise God. We hang it on Him this morning. Praise God. I thank Him. I thank Him for revealing in the expositors Isaiah 53 and many other chapters of the Bible. Praise God. And when it comes to our sins hanging on Him, and not just our sins, when it comes to our hopes, hang it on Him. Praise God. Hallelujah. You know, we refuse to rely on our own ability or performance or knowledge or personality or self-effort. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. Hallelujah. Praise God. Turn with me, if you will, to the book of Job. And I want to look at the 14th chapter as we hang it on Him this morning. We not only, when it comes to our sins, hang it on Him, but when it comes to our hope, we hang it on Him. Praise God. Hallelujah. And in Job, the 14th chapter, verses 7 through 9, For there is hope of a tree, if it be cut down, that it will sprout again, and that the tender branch thereof will not cease, though the root thereof wax old in the earth, and the stalk thereof die in the ground, yet through the scent of water it will bud, and bring forth boughs like a plant. Hallelujah. Praise God. Thank God that we are as a tree. The Lord is the tree of life. And when we come to Him, we give Him our hearts. Praise God. Seemingly our life in the natural is cut down. And His life, His newness of life, rises in us. Praise God. And we thank Him that we're a tender branch. And He said He would not harm a smoking flax. Amen. And that He would be with us. And He wants us to have a tender heart before Him. And He will minister. Though the root thereof wax old in the earth. Hallelujah. It looks like there's nothing happening. It looks like, hey, that person's not going to amount to anything. But God, through the scent of the water, the washing of the Word, it will bud and bring forth boughs like a plant. Remember that mustard tree? Even though it had the smallest seed, the fowls, everything in the earth came to lodge in it. Hallelujah. Praise God. People will come to you because you have the Lord and because it's His presence, not anything in your own ability or effort. But He comes and He lodges in us, and then they can take refuge under the arms of the Almighty. And we praise Him for that, that He is good and He remaineth good forever because He cannot change. Hallelujah. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Praise His holy name. So hanging on Him. When it comes to your sins, hanging on Him. And when it comes to your hope, hanging on Him. And we thank Him for that and give Him glory. And we give Him praise. And we give Him worship that He truly deserves. Hallelujah. And this is something that the Lord spoke to me the other day. I wrote it down. The Lord spoke it to me as I was walking my little beagle pixie on our little trail we go for little adventures on. And He spoke to me this. Through the cross, what Jesus has given is where you and I, now and forever, must be living. Praise God. I want to say that again because I think it's important. Through the cross, what Jesus has given is where you and I, now and forever, must be living. Hallelujah. Don't live in my own strength. Got to live under the power of the Lord. And that's where the Holy Spirit ministers from. We live this life empowered by the Holy Spirit. Praise God. And any time I step away from that and put my faith in my own ability, in my own knowledge, that's when failure is at the door, ready to open. But we want to go to the door, Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
And we want to stay with Him. So through the cross, what Jesus has given is where you and I now and forever must be living. Let's go to the book of Psalms. Hallelujah. And we want to be looking at Psalm 32 in verse 24. Psalm 32 and verse 24. Now when it comes to your sins, hanging on Him. Praise God.
There is no 24.
Okay.
Did you transpose?
I may have transposed. Hallelujah. How are you? My wife is always telling me.
Or 31 maybe.
Praise God. Hallelujah.
So 24 and
22.
There's 31. Yeah, there's 21. Be a good courage.
Okay, what was it? 31 and 24?
Yeah.
That's probably it then.
Be of good courage.
Be of courage. Yes, that's it. Praise God. Thank you. Hallelujah. Be of good courage, and He shall strengthen your heart, all ye that hope in the Lord. Had to be of good courage there that the Lord would reveal that scripture. Thank you, Sue. Let me read it again. Be of good courage, and He shall strengthen your heart, all ye that hope in the Lord. Praise God. And thank God that He is our hope, and He is our courage. When it comes to our hopes, hanging on Him. Praise God. Thank you, Lord, for humbling me. Let's go to Psalm 33, is the next bit of scripture. And verse 18, one of the believer's favorite scripture. Behold, the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear Him, upon them that hope in His mercy. Hallelujah. When it comes to our sins hanging on Him, and when it comes to our hopes hanging on Him, and we hanging on Him with verse 18, behold, the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear Him, upon them that hope in His mercy. He is our hope. Praise God. And when anything else becomes our hope, then it's just no good. Everything goes up in smoke, amen? But praise God, our hearts will arise as incense, as smoke before Him, our prayers, because of what He has done for us, what He has done for us, because He is our hope. Hallelujah. And we give Him glory and we give Him praise this morning because we're hanging on Him. Praise His holy name. Psalm 39 and verse 7 is we're hanging on Him this morning. And now, Lord, what wait I for my hope is in Thee. Hallelujah. Praise God. He's the one that you and I wait for. In fact, He is the only one worth waiting for ultimately. Amen? Mm-hmm. Praise God. He is the only one that has changed us from death to life. He is the only one that empowers us to live a holy life. Praise God. He is the only one that can forgive. And people can forgive, but God can forgive and forget. Hallelujah. Praise His holy name. So we thank Him that when it comes to our sins, we hang it on Him. And when it comes to our hopes, we hang it on Him. Glory to His holy name. Let's go to Psalm 71 now. Psalm 71. And we're going to be looking at verse 14. But I will hope continually and will yet praise Thee more and more. Hallelujah. Praise God. Did you know that praise and doubt cannot coexist? Hallelujah. I have no doubt I'm about to shout, I think I said last week. Hallelujah. Praise God. And it's because of our hope is in Him. My hope is not in the stock market. My hope is not the job I work for Sullivan County DPW. My hope is in Him, and I know your hope is in Him. All these things are just means to an end. He's the beginning and the end. Hallelujah. Praise God. We thank God for our jobs. We thank God for relationships. But the one that we need to thank God for all these things is the Lord, and we know that. But I will hope continually. That means it's effervescent, that it's a continuing thing, that it continues to bubble up, and that it's never going to stop. It's going to bubble up from here to eternity. Better than Burt Lancaster and Deborah Kerr on that beach. Hallelujah. Glory to God. It's going to go on and on forever and ever. But I will hope continually, praise God, and will yet praise Thee more and more and more. Hallelujah. We're on the praise team, not just for Sunday morning, but we're on the praise team forever. We're never going to stop praising. Because praise and doubt cannot coexist. Because we're either doubting or we're shouting. Hallelujah. And I prefer to be shouting, praise God. I prefer to be shouting the Lord's glory. Now there's many things, and if I allow my mind to rest on things that happen to me, health issues, job issues, vehicle issues, whatever it is, if I allow that to be my focus, then that's where I'm going to live. And that's where, you know, for as a man thinketh, so is he. I want to think on good things, amen? Like Philippians 4:8 says, I want to praise on things. And I'm thanking God that no matter what it looks like, I'm looking to Him. And I know you're the same way. Because, hallelujah, but I will hope continually. And it's not a hope that lasts for just a few minutes or a few hours and then things come up and I start dwelling on them. Where we dwell is where we live. I happen to dwell at 242 Chestnut Street, Liberty, New York. Stalkers did not come. Praise God, listening over the internet. But praise God, hallelujah. But all can come to the Lord who desire to have a relationship with Him, and He is there for everyone. But praise God, where we live is where we dwell. And we want to live in praise. We want to live in praise. And we want to live in hope. And it says hope continually. It doesn't say hope for a moment. It doesn't say hope just for tomorrow. It's hope for today. It's hope for each moment that we live. And praise God that He is that. Because He is our hope. And He's even more. We praise Him because we hang it on Him. Our sins and our hopes, we hang on Him. Praise His holy name. Let's go to Psalm 78. Psalm 78 and verse 7. That they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep His commandments. Hallelujah. Thank God. That's where we got our hope set. You know, a lot of ladies like pretty things because they're pretty too. And they like diamonds and things as such. And I'm glad my wife doesn't like them too much. Hallelujah. But praise God, they're set. The diamonds are set. And hallelujah, we shine as jewels before the Lord that we might set our hope in God and not forget the works of God. The things that He's done in the Word and the things that He's done in each of our lives. How many times in desperation He has been our salvation. How many times, no matter where you've been at, you've gone to the I Am and you've cried out to Him and He has seen you through. And He will ever see you through all the way home. Praise God. Because we have set our hope in God and we're never going to waver from it. Because He is the only hope of all ages. He is the only hope of mankind. And we find it at Calvary. Praise God in the finished work of the cross. So we give Him glory and we give Him praise this morning that He is our hope and He is our praise. And we thank Him and give Him glory. Let's go over to the next book, which is Proverbs. The book of Proverbs 14. Chapter 14. And verse 32. It says, the wicked is driven away in his wickedness, but the righteous hath hope in his death. Thank God that you and I have hope in our death. Because of Calvary, we have hope. Praise God. And it's a living hope. Amen? Yes. It is a living hope. Praise His holy name. Thank God that you and I have that hope that will last forever. It's a hope that is a continuing hope and a hope that will never end. Praise His holy name. And it puts joy in my soul.
For me to live is Christ, but to die is gain.
Amen. Sister Arlene says that for me to live is Christ, but to die is gain. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank God that absent in the body, present in the Lord. Praise God. When people were in school, they were absent. They weren't there. But they weren't with the Lord probably. They were absent. But thank God when you and I are absent from the body, we are present with the Lord. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In the body, I should say, not from the body. Hallelujah. Praise God. Because we don't want to forsake the assemblings of ourselves together. Amen. As much more we see the day approaching. Praise His holy name. Glory to God. Hallelujah. You know, he went from a manger to a cross. The Lord spoke to me the other day. From wood to wood, so you and I would be able to be restored to the Father, forgiven, redeemed forever his child. Let me say that again. He went from a manger to a cross, from wood to wood, so you and I would be able to be restored to the Father, forgiven, redeemed forever his child. The never-ending story of grace. Praise God. Hallelujah.
He would do it all.
Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. Okay, let's go on to the next scripture, which is Jeremiah, the 17th chapter, and verse 7. Hang it on him. Be not a terror unto me. Thou art my hope in the day of evil. Praise God. Hallelujah. I had Jeremiah 7:17. That is the correct. Jeremiah 17:7. Oh, no, it must be 7:17. Let's go to that, okay? Well, it's in Jeremiah somewhere, I can assure you that. Let's go to Jeremiah, let's see.
17:7 says, blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, whose hope is the Lord is.
Okay, that's good enough for me. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Let's read that one. Blessed is a man that trusteth in the Lord, whose hope is the Lord. Praise God, whose hope the Lord is. Blessed is a man that trusteth in the Lord and whose hope the Lord is. Amen. Praise God. Thank God that we trust in Him and He is our hope. Praise God. And I'll find where the other scripture is. It says, be not a terror unto me, thou art my hope in the day of evil. Praise God.
17:17.
Okay, it's 17:17. Okay, praise God. Isn't that interesting that we had both of them? Thank you, Lucille. Be not a terror unto me, thou art my hope in the day of evil. And I praise God that God loves us, and that because we came to Him by the blood of His Son. I actually heard recently that when Jesus was on the cross, God the Father saw you and I in Him when He was dying. You and I in Him. He saw everyone who ever lived who wanted to come to Him, in Him. And all the possibilities of all the souls through all the ages, hanging on Him when it comes to your sin and when it comes to your hopes, hanging on Him. Praise God. Well, I got to do better homework, so I apologize for not having the scriptures in the right order there. But I thank God for the congregation, which always bails me out. Hallelujah. In prayer and in looking up scriptures. So I thank you for that. Praise God. Hallelujah. Now let's go on to the next scripture. When it comes to our sins, hanging on Him. Praise God. And when it comes to our hopes, hanging on Him. Lamentations 3:21-26. My soul hath them still in remembrance, and is humble. No, I read 20, it's fine, and is humble to me. But verse 21 is where I wanted to start. This I recall to mind, therefore have I hope. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is Thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore I will hope in Him. The Lord is good unto them that wait for Him, and to the soul that seeketh Him. It is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. Thank God, I never saw it before, but hope are in all these, the coexisting in these beautiful verses that we seem to almost read every week. Hallelujah. And we thank Him for that. When it comes to your sin, hanging on Him. And when it comes to your hope, Hang it on him. Hallelujah. Praise God. Let's go to the book of Joel. In Joel 3:16, one time we did a little sermon from Genesis to Revelation on 3:16. And this was one of them. It says, "The Lord," in Joel 3:16, "the Lord also shall roar out of Zion and utter his voice from Jerusalem. And the heavens and the earth shall shake. But the Lord will be the hope of his people and the strength of the children of Israel." The Lord is the hope of his people today. No matter what happens in the American economy, no matter what happens to you where you live, hallelujah, he is your hope and he will ever be your hope. Hallelujah. And he is your reward. Glory to his most holy name. Praise God forever and ever. Hallelujah. When it comes to your sins, hang it on him. And when it comes to your hopes, hang it on him. Let's go to the book of Romans. Romans 4 and verse 17 and 18. "As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations before him whom we believe, even God, who quickeneth the dead and calleth those things which be not as though they were, who against hope believed in hope, that he might become the father of many nations according to that which was spoken. So shall thy seed be." Hallelujah. Praise God. He believed even against hope because his hope was in God. And knew that he was a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Praise God, as every believer needs to know. When it comes to your sins, hanging on him. And when it comes to your hope, hanging on him. Romans 5, 1 and 2. "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace through God, through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God." Praise his holy name. Jimmy Swagger says, "The grace of God is the goodness of God given to undeserving people." And Webster says, "Grace is unmerited divine assistance in one's regeneration and sanctification." Praise God. Thank God for grace. And thank God that we hang, when it comes to our sins, we hang it on him. And when it comes to our hopes, we hang it on him. Glory to his holy name. Thank God that he is able. He is always able to do everything above that we should ever ask or think. And we give him glory and praise this morning. Let's go over to Romans 8, verses 24 and 25. Romans 8, 24 and 25. "For we are saved by hope, but hope that is not that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for what we see not, then do we with patience wait for it." Hallelujah. Thank God. Thank God that we are saved by hope. And he is the hope of all humanity. Praise God. And we need to tell folks about it. And we'll give them glory forever and ever. And one thing the Lord spoke to me this week is to pursue self-pleasure is a dead end. To pursue the pleasure of his presence has no end. It is the reward of the righteous, not made righteous by their best efforts or ability, but solely by faith in he who is our salvation and sanctification through Calvary. Praise his holy name. Romans 15 and verse 13. "Let us not therefore judge one another anymore." Praise God. Hallelujah. I believe I have the wrong scripture again. I got to do better homework here. Unless I wrote down the wrong thing here. I apologize. No, I'm in verse 14, chapter 14. Romans 15, 13. Let's try this again. Hallelujah. "Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost." Hallelujah. Thank God that now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. So that means pray in tongues to build up your hope. And when it says here the God of hope, it actually means the source of hope. He is the source of hope. Hallelujah that he is. And he remains that now and forever. Okay, let's go over to 1 Corinthians 15, verses 19 through 22. Hallelujah. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. Hallelujah. I'm glad this morning that you and I are made alive. Colossians 1:27. We're going to move quickly here and finish up before service. Let's go to Colossians, the book of Colossians 1:27. To whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of the mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Amen? Yes. Hallelujah. Praise His holy name. I can say it in tongues. Glory to His name. Hallelujah. Praise His holy name. Let's go just two more scriptures. And we want to go over to 1 Timothy 1:1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of God our Savior and the Lord Jesus Christ, which is our hope. Thank God He's our hope. He's the only hope, a track says, that Chick makes. Amen? Praise God. He is truly the only hope. Let's go to Titus, the last scripture, because we know it's Christ in you. Amen? Eternal hope of glory, as the song says. Praise God. Titus in 2:13. Looking for that blessed hope and glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for us that He might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto Himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. Praise His holy name. And we'll thank Him and give Him glory forever. I know I said that's the last scripture. I just want to go to one more. Let's go over to 1 Samuel, the first chapter, in verse 22. But Hannah went not up, for she said unto her husband, I will not go up until the child be weaned, and then I will bring him, that he may appear before the Lord, and there abide forever. And what I'd like to tell you this morning is that the last part of that verse, that he may appear before the Lord and there abide forever. Let's pray. Father, we thank you this morning, Lord God, that when it comes to our sins, we hang it on Him. And when it comes to our hopes, we hang it on Him. And we pray, Lord God, that as folks are coming, that you would just draw people, Lord God, by the Holy Spirit where we need to be this morning, that we glorify your holy name, that we be, oh Lord God, that you would be exalted in our praises and enthroned upon our worship. We thank you this morning that you would come as a mighty God to the temple, and that you would come and change us for your glory, to give you all honor and praise. In Jesus' name, amen.
Is still done nothing less than Jesus Christ is righteousness.
I dare not. Mr. Ezra. Hey. Oh. Yes. Yeah. Hey.